We're now doing Mishnayos Dalid and Hey. Dalid gives us an overview about Giluach, even an historical overview. Shloshim Megalchim. There are three types of people who are Megaleach. V'tiglachton Mitzvah. Now, Mitzvah generally means it's a Mitzvah L'chadchila, and the only reason it says this is because of the Nazir. V'tiglachas Mitzvah, HaNazir is the first one. So, a Nazir has a Tiglachas, but it's not Ma'akev. If he doesn't have his haircut at the end of his period of Naziris, when he brings his Korbanos, it's not Ma'akev the completion of the Naziris, and he can drink wine and he can be Mitami again, as long as he brought his Korbanos. The Tosfos Yom Tov says mitzvah mishum de minazir ein tiglachas makeves kede masik maskinen the mishnah perik tes perik vav de nazir lohachi katoni mitzvah. Now the mitzora is ma'akev. The first Yisrael points out mihu mishune nazir mishnei chaverov. The nazir is different than the other two. The third, by the way, I should read it first. V'tiglach the mitzvah hanazir hamitzora v'halavim. They said it's a historical background because Levim, this happened in the Midbar. So madahava hava, what happened happened. But I'll offer a suggestion on this. Shmigaleach. So now the nazir is different. Shmigaleach rach sarosho. The nazir only has the his hairs on his head, which grew long during the nazirus. Those are shaved off. Umeshuna mitzora mishnei chaverov and mitzora is different. Sheshnei giluchim tzorich. First of all, he needs two giluchim on the first day and the seventh day, and she yadavka ayadei kohen. And those two giluchim have to be done by a kohen. By the others, it didn't have to be done by a kohen. And the third is the levim in the midbar. So the Mishnah Achronah asks an interesting question. Why the Mishnah doesn't also mention in Yecheskel also had to shave his hair. Why did it mention the giluach to Yecheskel? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, take a sharp sword, v'avartu al roshcho v'al zikonecho, and you'll make it pass on your head and upon your beard. So he answers this, v'efshir d'lo choshiv elo d'yoraisa v'lob nevi. Maybe the Mishnah is only speaking about things that are mentioned in the Torah and not in the Neviim. V'od, another possibility is giluach the yochid lo chashiv, a giluach that applied to only one person in history, it's not considering. Now, the Mishnah continues, v'kulin shegilchu shelo b'torah, if they didn't use a tar, and no one knows the reason why for the tar, but it has to be a blade. O shishiru shtei saros. If he cut up all the hair, but two hairs, it's ma'akev. Where it's ma'akev in the case of the mitzara, or in levim, aloa suklum. So if the two hairs are left, they have to be cut off at that time. Also, the two hairs are ma'akev. And again, the Tosfos Yom Tov points out here, this is a theme in our mesecta, that sar means two saros, so if two hairs are left, then he hasn't removed all his hairs. The two hairs is the definition. It's been out throughout the Masechta of a seir, of a hair. I was thinking that perhaps, certainly in the case of the Levim, the giluach of the Levim, the shaving of Levim in the midbar, was to elevate them to the status of Levim. It was an act of sanctification. By Nazir, there's a machlokis, whether Nazir is a chote or not a chote. According to the opinion that he's a chote, then by shaving, he's ending his naziris, he's going also to a higher level. According to the opinion that he's no fakir, there's Ramban explains, the reason why he brings the chatos is because he was at a higher level to begin with. He did an excellent thing. He really, he dedicated himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he brings the chatos because he's leaving that level. So perhaps here the there's a higher challenge to the Nazir, that without the strictures of the Nazir, he can still go to a higher level of Kedusha by bringing some of that Kedusha of Naziris into the world. So again, it either way, if he was a Chotei, now he's no longer a Chotei. If he wasn't a Chotei, he was doing a wonderful thing, but he's now, through the process of ending his Naziris, he's going to bring the wonderful thing he took, even without stopping himself from drinking wine or being Mace, but he's going to keep some of that Kedusha in, and extend it into the real world, and the preparation for that is the Tiglachas. So by the Mitzvah too. The Mitzorah hopefully is leaving his condition as a Mitzorah Motzi Shemra Baloshin Hara, and he's entering the world of humanity again. So again, it's an elevating act, this Tiglachas. Mishneh Hey, Shtei Tziporim. Now we're going to the individual parts of the Torah. The two birds, Mitzvosam Shihiyu Shavos Bamaru Uvakomo Ubedamim. They should be almost like twins. They should be equal in appearance, in size, and in their value. So the Rav explains the Lichtov Rachmonet Tziporim Umiyu Tziporim Ishtayim Shtei Deksiv Rachmon Ulomali. In other words, the Torah says Shtei Tziporim Elo Lamei Shihiyu Shteihem Shavos. It could have, Torah could have just simply said Tziporim without Shtei, and we know it means two birds. So when it says Shtei Tziporos, it's to tell us that they have to be as equivalent as possible. And this brings to mind, before she discussed this, the union of the two Seirim on Yom Kippur, which were intrinsic part of the Kapara, one the Seir Lifnim, which is Metahir from Tumas Beis HaMikdash, the Kodshav, and the Seir and this year b'chutz, which mistaher on Yisrael from their sins. So again, one is killed, one is a korban. But here it's not really a korban, the bird that's killed, because it's not done inside the Beis HaMikdash, has no kedusha. But with the seer, one is a korban, and the others is sent out seer lazozil. So it's sent away also. There are comparisons between the birds of the mitzvah and the seerim. They have to be like resemble each other as much as possible. So it says v'lokichus san kiyachas. They should be purchased at the same time. Then the Mishnah says afal pish inu shavos. However, even if they're not so identical, they're still kosher. That's only l'chadchila, that they should be identical. Lokach echad hayom b'yechad l'mochad. The same thing when it says they should be bought at the same time. If you bought one the one day, one next day, also ksheros. It's also kosher. Shochad achas mehem. V'nim says shalo dror. Now, here we want to go back to the first Mishnah in the Perek, and there it mentioned Dror, and the Rav said over there that Tziporim Dror Shedoros Bebayis Kebisode. They dwell in a house like they dwell in the field. So I thought perhaps it meant that they were partially domesticated, but the Tosfos Yom Tov explains the Rav like this. Perish Rav Shidoros Babayas Kibisoda Shiodua Shiodil Hisha made Bizovio Sabayas. He knows how to escape from corner to corner of the house, Lucholsad. So it's not a domesticated bird, really. It can live in a house comfortably because he knows it won't be caught. But it's not domesticated. Lhinikre's drawer al Shindira. Shidorka Bekomokum. Shadora Bekomokom. The Tosfos Yom Tov learns that Dror is language of Dira. It can dwell anywhere. It can dwell any place. Others learn this language of like first Yisrael, language of Chavshi, Ukrasim Dror Ba'orach, will proclaim liberty throughout the land. So he brings down, the Tosfos Yom Tov brings down a Rashi, that it's not domesticated. She'inu Mekabelis Morus. As the Gemara explains over there in, it's Gemara in Beya. Now, and Rashi seems to say, "Vitzurich lomer shafal pishi al shem kachu nikra tipa dror," that it's a free bird, language of Chavshi, Lomi Pikin called Sipur Shin Makabel Maros, who Shekosher Lataris Mitzorah. It doesn't mean that every bird, that kosher bird that's not domesticatable, is kosher for the Tara of Mitzorah. The Harman Le'el, Shein Lochla Gadov, Lokatan, there happens more over there and discusses the size of the bird and like. Umatsosi, the Tosfos Yom Tov continues, Pirish Ramban al Chumash Shekosav Shiyita Kain Shiyah Hashem Bekatana Bilvad, that the name of the tzipa drawer was limited to a small bird. The Ferris Yisrael goes further. He wants to say it's a specific species. But nearly, the Ferris Yisrael had a tremendous knowledge. If you go through, Mishnayos with Ferris Yisrael, he very often has tremendous knowledge of botany, of biology, all sorts of interesting scientific things. And he says, Venira Li, Shehud the Sperling. Maybe the Sperling is like a sterling, Loshen Ashkenaz. And he says, he brings down so according to the Baal Tosfos Yom Tov, that it's possible that it's limited to a specific type of bird. And now we can understand the Mishnah here in Mishnah Hay, because the Mishnah Hay says that Shachat Achas Mehem Benim Se Shelo Dror. If it's a specific bird or a specific size bird, or it had certain characteristics, you see that instead it's not that this is a species that's totally domesticated. He made a mistake. So Yikach Zug Lishnia. So the first one is, of course, is disqualified, but the second one that's going to be set free, that its kashrus is still intact. It's not like the Syrian where if one is disqualified, the other one is also. So he takes just another one to Shecht, and the one that was going to be set free just is held in the meantime. Yikach Zug Shniel Harishona. And Muteris Bachil, if it was shechted properly, that bird was is permitted to be eaten. Shochta, if he shechted the bird to be the tzipur tahora, whose blood goes into the kli cheres chadasha with the mayim chayim, and Nimseis Treif, when the bird is found to have some type of a problem, it's a problem with the lungs or whatever, Nimseis Treif, you see it's very quickly when the bird is small, so it's very visible. Yikag Zug Lishnia, and Harishonu Muteris Bahanoa. That is the set, if it had Shrita, to Treifa, Shrita by an animal certainly is Mitahir a Treifa from Tuma. It's a Matar Trefer from Tuma. However, obviously it's not kosher still. However, so the Rishona, which is it's not like Kachim, it's permissible Bahanoa, even though the one that's sent away is Usher Bahanoa until it's sent away. This one now, once it was shechted and it's disqualified, it was a trefa, so you see it's defined now as muteris ba'anoa. Now, nishbach hadam, if in a situation where before the blood got into the, was poured from the bird into the, from the shechted bird into the water, that blood got spilled in the floor, and now there's no blood to put into the water, in such a case now, Thomas Hamishtalachas. Then the Mishtalachas, the word that was reserved to be sent free, in this case, it has to die. So the Rav explains Thomas Hamishtalachas. And by the way, the reason why a treif is no good for the blood, the Rav explains the chiyus ksiv. It has to be edible, kosher for. It's not a korban. The chiyus ksiv, but vitality is prat l'treifus. We always assume a treifus is not going to live long. Prat l'treifus. Tomus hamishtalachas. In the case where the blood is spilt out, that disqualifies both birds now. So you put it away at Shetomus Mileva. Put it in a cage, you don't destroy it, put it away and you let it die in its old, not die of old age. But if the, now Nishbach Adam Tomus Mishtaleach, if Mesa Mishtalachas, Mesa mishtalachas. If the bird that was supposed to be set free died without being set free, apparently it's not ma'akev. So still, the other bird is not shechted yet, or it was shechted, but the blood wasn't put into the or even it was put into the kli yishofecha dam. The dam is for fallen also. Let me read over here in the Teferes Yisrael. Of the mesas mishulachas achra zos adam, if the mishulachas dies after the sprinkling process, shiluach eno ma'akev, the sending forth of that bird is not ma'akev the process. So only in the event that if the mishulachas died before the sprinkling was done, then the blood is poured out, and I guess, you know, when you have to make the process again with more mayim chayim and new blood into the kli cheres. And that's the end of Mishnah Hay.